praise. I praise my God because I'm standing here on this morning. And because I said to the Lord when he woke me up, Lord, I can't help but give you praise for how you have done so much in my life. Thank you, Lord. Let's give God a hand of praise, for he has done something for each one of us. The God that we serve has blessed us on yesterday, today, and he will bless us on tomorrow. Praise God, and thank him so much. I thank each one of you for being here on this day, and I especially thank my pastor for allowing me to stand behind this sacred pulpit, and I want to acknowledge the ministers that are here on this morning, and those faithful ushers that are always there, and then this choir. I thank you all so very much. I didn't thank for rendering us music, and I also would be remiss if I didn't thank my better half. He's a strength at my back, and I thank God for him each and every day. Deacon John Pullen, thank you, God, for him. Let's please stand as we read a word of God. It should be on the screen, and we're going to read Galatians 6 and 9, and it reads as follows. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you, Father, for a finger of love that touched us this morning, God. We thank you, God, as we made our way here, Father. I saw all of nature and all that you have made, and we thank you, God. We ask, oh God, that you would just come and be with us, Lord, and sup with us a while, God, and allow me, God, to decrease while you increase, God. We thank you, Father, for your word. It's your word that gives us strength, Lord. So, Father, as we continue, Lord, to speak on your word and talk about who you are, Lord, we just ask that you would just bless us in such a mighty way. Oh, God, as only you can. And are we truly grateful, God, and we will give you all praise and honor of what you so richly deserve. And we do pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And as we, won't you be seated, as we prepare to go into God's word, it reminded me of something that I'd heard on the radio not too long ago, and it was about a pastor in a church. And they were having a fundraiser, and he said to the congregation, he said, to anyone who would give a large amount of money, or the largest, he said, I will, and we will join you in three hymns. And so the collection was taken up, and the collection was over, and then there was one elderly lady in the back of the church, and she said, Pastor, I have the largest contribution right here. And so the pastor begged her to come forward, and she made her way forward. And when she got to the front of the church, a pastor said, we really want to thank you, but right now we want to find out what are the three hymns that you would like us to render. And she said, I'll take him, and I'll take him, and I'll take him. So we thank God for laughter. So we praise God for what he has done. And so we thank you for, it's good to laugh in the Lord, and praise God for all the blessings he has bestowed upon us. Praise God. So our name of our scripture this morning, and just to give you a little bit of background, it's a scripture is going to be from Galatians 6 and 9. And the churches at Galatia were those churches that were compromised of both Jews and of Gentiles. And Paul's purpose in writing to these churches was to confirm of their faith. And especially he was concerned about the justification not by faith alone, but also apart from the works of the church. And so the title this morning of my sermon is going to be In due season, yes. Praise God. So Galatians reminds us not to grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Yeah. And then we also have another scripture that while I'm not going to dwell on it, I would like to read it for you if you will allow me. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under God. Paul is writing a letter to the Galatians to counter the threat of Christian liberty. The tone of the letter might be harsh, but Paul believed that the very truth of the gospel and his ministry was in jeopardy. As believers, the words time and season is used throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. It usually refers to a certain time and when a certain thing is about to happen. And then there's also in the Bible that there is reference to time. And we use chronos time, which is the time in the spiritual realm, as was shared with us in a Bible study by Reverend Dr. Cheryl Barnes. And then we have kairos time, which is time that is used in the spiritual realm. We speak of seasons in Scripture: summer, fall, winter, and spring. Sometimes we use the word seasons to describe sports events. We have football, basketball, and baseball seasons. Even in agriculture, it speaks of cultivating as well. And it talks about there's a harvest time and there's a planting time. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it tells us that there is a season for all things. Right. But when we use the term in due season, it can be experienced as, it cannot be experienced as spring and fall, or it is summer and the winter. It can take place when the weather, it is cold or it is hot.
That's right.
It can take place anytime. Yes. Let us take a deeper look at this word in due season by examining some other translations of the Bible. King James Version uses the standard in due season. The Contemporary English Version says when the time is right. And still, William Barclay's Bible will say when the proper time comes. The Living Bible will say after a while. Surely you know that there is different ways to describe seasons and time. In due seasons means, for the terms of this scripture or this sermon, it means in God's time. In due season means when God gets ready for it to happen. Let me give you the bottom line of what Paul says in the verse. He says, don't allow yourself to become discouraged when you're doing what is right. Don't allow negative-minded people to stop you from doing what God has assigned for you to do. God may seem to be acting very slowly, but in Kairos time and at the proper time, in due seasons, things will going to be turned around for you in your circumstances.
Yeah.
Your investment in time and energy and good works are going to start the blessings flowing your way. And then you'll have so many blessings, you will not know how to receive each one of them.
Right.
Those are encouraging words to any God-fearing, law-abiding spiritual person of God trying to play this game of life. Isn't it strange that there seems to be more pressure on us to do the wrong thing than to do the right thing?
Right.
Which is characterized by gross dishonesty, blatant immorality, lies of Satan. If we just look around in our world today, there is discord in politics, in our schools, even in our homes. But we know that if we trust in the living God, that God will come and do season. So Paul was right on target when he says, let us not grow weary, hallelujah, in well-doing. We need to be upright in the way we live and be objective and not ridicule others. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world if we spent more time on our blessings than we spend on our problems?
Right.
It's very easy to become weary when your life is filled with wholesome activities, which can fall in the general category of well-doing. But Paul says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Let us not become victims of critics and stand your ground and be steadfast and immovable in all that you do.
Yeah,
for in due season, when God gets ready to bless you, Believers, no matter how many that Satan has on his payroll, Lord have mercy. Yeah. They can't stop the blessings from flowing in your life. In due season, it can be hot weather, it can be cold, it can be May, or it can be December. But in due season, God has a blessing for each and one of you and will take place in his time, in the appropriate time, when God says the time is right. He gives us, you and I, items of practice and challenges which can fall into the category of well-doing. In other words, after naming some things, it constitutes, that is constituted as well-doing.
Yes.
He admonishes not to become weary as we do this. Mm-hmm. The one virtue that I want to focus on this morning is forgiveness.
All right.
And Galatians said in 6:1, and I'll reread it again for your hearing. It says, brethren, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch out yourself, or you also may be tempted. When Paul says, yield not to temptation and fall into the stead of God of aggravating circumstances, we may find ourselves criticizing that person that needs our support. That needs our help. In other words, on pause. Let the emphasis be on restoration, on prayer, on and not on judgment, and also on forgiveness.
Right.
Now, without doubt, that is well-doing. Paul begins by addressing, in his word, he begins by addressing the whole congregation. And that includes everybody in Galatians, in the church at Galatia. But when he talks about his agenda of well-doing, he changes it a little bit. He divides the congregation in and he says, ye which are spiritual. I'm not talking about those who just came along for the ride. I'm talking about those who are spiritual. I'm talking about those that have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'm talking about those who acknowledge that they are sinners and that they are saved by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Paul says, you are ones who I am addressing. Mm-hmm. I'm not addressing those that are spiritual. I'm addressing those that say that they are spiritual. When one of your members falls down, or someone even in your own family falls down, you lift them up and restore them back into good health or into our fellowship. That is well-doing. Mm-hmm. Many people in our society and even in our churches are hurt. And in fact, they turn around and hurt other people. And I say this, and I'm reminded of Ron Phillips, who says it all the time. He's no longer in our congregation, but he used the term, and it fits so well into this. And it says, hurt people hurt people.
Right.
Paul admonishes not to let that happen in this place called Christian Tabernacle or anywhere, even on your job.
Right.
We not must grow weary in well-doing. Mm-hmm. We must not allow up other people to keep us from loving God's children.
Yeah.
And I say unto you, it doesn't take much for us not to love God's children. Someone can wake up in the morning and say something to us, and we just not feeling right. We just not feeling it. And what they say, we receive it in the wrong way. And how they meant it just didn't set right with us. And all of a sudden, we as Christians, we got an attitude. I get one too. And that happens. And what we need to do is remember that people are going through things each and every day of their lives. And we must not allow us to not forgive people for things that they have done unto us.
Yeah.
I myself has even found that I had to make a call and ask someone's forgiveness just for something that I had said. And when I say that, it was in all sincerity. But I know that as a Christian, I cannot walk in light with God. I cannot say that I am a follower of Christ and that I live under grace and don't seek the forgiveness of someone that I have offended. Many people in our societies and even in our churches will say that forgiveness is one step closer to God. All that we do, all that we say, represents the Christ that lives in us. We do, which is us not to let that happen. And we must not grow weary in the things that we do, which is called well-doing. We must not allow people to keep us from loving God's children. We must not allow them to be to forgive and to get in our way and to keep us from forgiving those just as they would have us to do unto them. Yeah. So Paul speaks of forgiveness as a example of well-doing. In due season and when God gets ready, he is going to bless you, and nobody can do anything about that. Right. Let me add to that list of other instances of well-doing. How about loving your neighbor as yourself? How about loving each other in spirit and in truth? That's well-doing. Mm-hmm. How about being honest with something on someone? Come correct with someone if you have said something to them that is not what it should have been or wasn't received the way it should have been. And this tongue of the of ours is like what it says in Proverbs. It says that it's like feathers in the wind. Is that as soon as the feathers hit your mouth and it comes out of your mouth and feathers go everywhere, you can't recapture what you say. So it's forgiveness, and it's seeking those that you have not been right with is to make yourself right with them in God. Please. How about paying your tithes? That's well-doing. Right. And what about visiting the sick and the shut-in? Or perhaps it's a phone call, or perhaps you can give a word of encouragement or even a word of prayer. Mm-hmm. That's well-doing. And what about those that are standing in the need? I know that we come out of Putnam Street, and there's always this young man that's sitting on the corner of Putnam and Dixwell Avenue. He's sitting on the curbside, and it's usually at a certain time in the day. And he said he'll work for nothing. And oftentimes, you see cars go by him. And then every once in a while, you will see someone stop and give him something. I'm sure that that man has other things that he can do, but he might be hungry. And so I would say unto each one of you is that in those instances, you just don't know what anybody is going through. That's right. You don't know when they had their last meal. You don't know what their bills are. You don't know anything about them. But what we do as Christians is to do something and do it in well-doing.
That's right.
How about giving a word of encouragement to someone that is depressed? And I don't have to say that because in Christian Tabernacle, we are a church that is full of love. If I needed a word of encouragement or a word of prayer to get me through, just as I asked my pastor just a few minutes ago, that I can depend on anybody who's sitting in front of me right now. This is a loving church. And so I can say that we are a church that views well-doing as praying for each other. But what about using your spiritual gifts? Those gifts that God has given unto you. Those gifts that God has given to you when he said, I know the plans I had for you. And he says, I know you when I put you in your mother's womb. That's when God has given you those spiritual gifts. That's my God. That's a God that we serve. But that is a God of many, many promises. How about coming to Bible study and services? There's times I've missed. Other doing other things, but that is well doing. And so I can't say, why weren't you there? Because there are times that we just can't make it. Our heart may be in the right place, but I'm going to encourage you. When you come to Bible study, the word of God is always shared at Bible study and at prayer meeting. Mm-hmm. How about we're expressing a little more love and patience and joy? I'm thinking about in our homes. And on the jobs, people that we meet. I can't say that I do it all the time, and I don't even know what you do, but I will say that if you need a word of prayer from me, you can just ask me, and I will stop, drop, and pray for you. wherever you are. How about expressing a little bit more? How about being expressing a little bit more love and on the job? I'm not working right now, but I know that on the job there are people. Oh my goodness, they just get you the wrong way. You just walk in and things are just all bad. I feel you. There was one time I was working as a temp, and I worked at a couple of places, and I said, "Ooh-wee, the workplace has changed. There's no acknowledgement even for each other, but even on the job, we need to express our joy and love for our fellow man. Right. How about being a better parent, a better husband, a better wife? That's well-doing as well. All of those practices fall in the category of well-doing.
Yeah.
You can rest assured that when you begin to practice, you will see the change in your life. And if you haven't met Satan when you start to practice that, that means that you and Satan are running in the same direction.
That's right.
And so it says that you need to change your way of doing things. Amen?
Amen.
So don't burn. If you have a tactic Satan uses to cause you become weary, because Paul says, if you hold on and in due season, and that means in God's own time, in the proper time, and when God gets ready, you will receive your blessing. So hold on to God's unchanging hand. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 3:11-1, he says, cast your bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Be faithful. And in those times that God has blessed you, and you can bless others, when you're standing in the need, God will bless you and open up the doors, and heavens will flow down with more blessings than you can receive.
Yeah.
So I said, cast those cares in the water and cast it there, and God will bless you in such a mighty way. I'm thinking about blessings and how God has blessed each one of us. We may be so caught up in our own selves and may not even recognize when God has blessed us. We may have had sickness and said a word of prayer, and we asked God to heal us and bless us. And little by little, God will heal us. He can turn that little thing around. And then there are those that might have been dealing with financial burdens right now. God can bless you, and the windows of heaven will open up and shower you with more blessings than you are able to receive.
Yeah.
So I said, cast your cares on the water, and God will bless you in such a mighty and magnificent way as only you can. And have you ever thought about the list of people whose lives have been characterized by well-doing? Those who refused to allow Satan to have their way. There was Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob, who was sold into slavery because of his dream. And while in slavery, because of his well-doing, he went to prison. But then, while in prison, he was used by God.
Yeah.
And he became a tool of well-doing. Because God said, the highest position in the land of Egypt.
Yeah.
That is well-doing. Then there was David, the 8th son of Jesse. When he volunteered to put his life on the line, when he was about to face the life,
That's right.
The life of Goliath. Excuse me, church. In due season, he stepped in when nobody else would step in to face that giant called Goliath, who was 6 feet 9 inches tall, to a teenager. He stepped in with a slingshot and a smooth stone. And he had no fear because he had God on his side. And he took that stone and he put it in that slingshot. And when he got ready to launch it, it was like a guided missile. And it took out that giant. And it took out all of the fear that anyone had because of that giant. And because of what David did, he allowed us to say that we can pull down all of the giants in our lives. So I do not know, hallelujah, what the giants are in your life. But I will say right now that if there is a giant of anxiety or fear, or if your giant, hallelujah, is anxiety, or if your giant is financial, or if your giant is your marriage, or if your giant is your job, I say unto you, you put those stones into a slingshot and you launch it and you knock down those giants God has put in your life. And do not grow weary in well-doing. For if you hold on to his unchanging hand and in due season, God will bless you in such a mighty way. And then you know that as we, you and I, are subjected to, because we are Christians, we are subjected to many things. And I say that God will bless you if you hold on to his unchanging hand. Don't stop. Just pray and let God use you in a way that he will do, use you to bless yourself and bless others. I ask that you would just pray. I ask that you would just hold on to God's unchanging hand. At morning, noon, and night, he can turn you to a better place if we just hold on to his unchanging hand. I say to church, what season are you in? What season has God brought you through on this past week? I say unto you, if it could be a season of not being allowed to help someone, but I say unto you, turn from the ways and help God as he touches you every day. Cut loose. We know that Jesus will help us and be with us in the time of trouble. We know that Jesus said he would heal the sick. That's a God that we have if we turn from him. He said he will open blind eyes, and he will open doors that are closed. He will cut loose those that have a stammering tongue, and he will raise those from the dead, and he will even raise you up in your time of need. And everything that a God will do unto you, he will move you, and he will call you, and he will move those giants out of your way. So don't be discouraged in doing right. And I say to you thus far that as they tied and crucified our Jesus and they hung him on that cross, oh, that old rugged cross, I'm glad that in a while he was hanging there, he did not allow himself to grow weary and well-doing. And I say to you, there are crosses we all have to bear, and don't allow you to get weary and well-doing, but hold on, because the God that has closed doors will be the same God that will open your doors for you in due season, because he knows that as we go through, that the God will meet us right where we are. And no matter what it is that we have, if it's something to do with our health, if it's something to do with our children, if we are experiencing our setbacks in our marriage, if we are looking to have a right relationship with God, I say to each and one of you, don't grow weary. Keep your hand in God's hand, and he will direct your path. He won't allow each and any one of us, please, do not grow weary. It is a bright and early on Sunday morning and in due season that they hung our Savior on the cross. Jesus got up with a victory speech in his hand. And he said, you too, well, is mine. And let us not grow weary, for in due season, you too will have that power. We know that if we hold on to God's unchanging hand in the time when we are falling behind in our financial bills, in the time of when we have all kind of uncertainty in our life. I know when I woke up this morning, I had so many things on my mind, but I said, oh, thanks be to God that I did wake up this morning, and that the God that we serve has provided a way out of no way. For I say unto you, Christian Tabernacle, that even in a due season, and even when the road gets weary, and even when the struggle becomes so difficult it's hard for us to bear, it may be sickness that you have in your life. It may be just these old weary bones that are just getting all bent out of shape. But I say unto you, that if the Lord has blessed you once, if the Lord has blessed you twice, yes, if the Lord has blessed you three times, get hold on, because your blessings have not stopped flowing yet, as long as we hold on to God. Because I say, if I have feet to walk, and if I am able to wake up on each and every morning, if I have the activity of my limbs, I will say to each and every one of you, God is good in our life. Not only is he good, he brought us from a mighty long ways. And he has not stopped yet, Reverend Cheryl. He has said unto this, he has said, in all seasons, in due season and out of season, I will bless you if you just hold on. So no matter what your circumstance is, no matter what has caused you to be weary, no matter what it is that you have said, I can't take it anymore, I say to you, get down on your knees and open your Bible, and you have a little talk with Jesus, and you tell him all about your trouble. And I say that the God that has brought us through all of our trials, as he has brought me through, if I look back over my life, I should not even be standing here this morning. I tell you, I was a mess, a royal mess, but through the grace of God, he has brought me through. And I can't say that I'm standing here on my own. I'm saying because he has given me the wisdom. He has given me the strength. He has given me the knowledge. He has given me the joy. He has given me the patience. He has given me the understanding. He, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Because as you and I know, if it's through his grace and his mercy that will bring you through. So even as we have come and we are broken, each and every one of us, but I say unto you right now, the God that we serve, he will bring you through. Don't grow weary in well-doing, because God is an awesome God, ever-present God in the time of trouble. For in due season, he will bless you beyond all comprehension. He is an awesome God. He is a glorious God. He is a God that says in due season, in and out of season, in the proper time. I just thank God for what he has done, not only in my life, but I'm praising him right now as for the things that he has done in each and every one of your lives. And I praise and thank you for the grace of God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for blessing. I thank you, God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.